It's the church and the cross. And I'd like to, you know, we're kind of continuing to, it's a little review of the conference we had on 1 Corinthians, but, you know, many of us were not there, so in this case, it's like not a review. But I want to, like, bring out, like, one particular picture from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we'll start with a little explanation of, like, church in verses 1 and 2. And then we'll see some problems that happened in the church. That's in chapter in verses 10 and 10, 11. And then we'll see Paul's solution, which is the cross. And so, you know, if we get through this message in a good way, we'll see these two things that are big C words, church and cross. And those two things are very important for our Christian life. And I would say, like, you know, both are very much kind of misunderstood. And, you know, when you think about the church, what do you think? Well, let's just see what Paul says here, and I'll just describe the church as it was in Corinth. Paul, let's read this together. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Okay, we could spend the whole morning just on this verse 2. You know, a church in Corinth, in the book of Corinthians, it's like a gathering. And Paul will even say in chapter 14, when the whole church comes together, when the whole church comes together. And so one thing that we should think about, like, you know, God never intended a believer to live a life without gathering, without a gathering. And one of the kind of most outwardly basic senses, church is a gathering. It's like you have a life with other believers, and they're gathered together. It's like to the church of God, which is in Corinth. He doesn't write to individuals. He doesn't write to just some prominent people. It's like there's a gathering. And in that gathering, there is like a lot of participation, which we'll see which is shown in later parts of Corinthians. But in that gathering, there's like some receiving you would receive. Like, for instance, here you receive from a message. And there's also giving. And there's care for one another, and there is being cared for, and it's a whole life together where you're connected in relationship with other people. And it's like a church. And then here, this is going to go really slow, because I want to talk about just two words of God. A church of God. And then, like, it's so easy to think that a church is of people or of a organization or of an institution or of a certain kind of, you know, effort by human beings. But it's like the church of God. And then that makes a big difference. Okay. On the one hand, it's like from the church development side or whatever. It's like, well, this is not a guy's idea. This is of God. And then on the other hand, it's our thought. Why am I here? Why am I in fellowship with the church? Because God moved. And God put me here. Thomas, you're sitting in the front row. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
Who did that? No, you're a case student. You're smart. You chose the right way.
Not really how it works.
Not really how it works. God. God. God moved. And you're like, wow. How did I start this? How did this begin in my life? It was God. And then, do you think it's just random that you're with? Like, JD, you read the Bible. Come here. We're going to go really slow. I don't know if we're going to get the message. Okay. Did you know each other before you came to Case? Oh, really? That's pretty impressive. I heard of JD. I heard of Tom. Oh, mutual friend. Okay. Well, like, did you have any idea that he would read the Bible with you? And that through your reading the Bible, you would begin to know God? Can't you just see, like, the whole orchestration? The orchestration. And you're from a cool state.
State Maryland?
Yeah. And then Ohio. Maryland, Ohio. What would you know? And you're from the cool, same cool state. And then Cleveland. Huh? Sometimes people ask, people who live in Cleveland, why? You know what? It was God. Just arranging. And you're from another continent. Yeah. Cleveland. You're in Hungary, and then you ask, like, I'm going to Cleveland. They're like, where? If you're going to New York, yeah. But something was moving, putting you together. And then God knew. This man needed to know me. So I put them together with this man. And they knew each other, but there's something of God's move. Now, who put you with all these people? Wow. Put you with all these people. Yeah. Thank you. Church of God. And it's so different than saying, this was the church that I chose. It's like the church of God. It's like there's a source for all of those in the church. You know what it is? God. Like God moved in my life. And then I would just say, like, if you have this view, it's like, no, you see church in a different way. You see church in a different way. It's like, God moved in me. God brought me here. God brought me. God saved me. God brought me to this gathering. And you know what? I am just responding to God. It's like whole different kind of thought. It's not a coincidence. It's not random. It's not that you're smart. It's not that you made the right choice. It's not that you selected this or you saw. It's like something of God. And if you can say that, you realize, like, this is the church of God. So let me just bring you out to, like, God's viewpoint. It's like God is, like, you know, observing things. And he's like, you know, I would just observe all of these things. And in Corinth, I see something. I see a gathering. And, you know, that gathering is not made up of random, what do they call them? Randos? Is that their word? Is that a word? Randoms? Randos? I have you heard that? Randos. Yeah, like, I just started to hang out with the people that were around. They were randos. Anyway, I don't know if I'm using it right, but I'm just repeating what I heard. But it's not a bunch of randos. God would say, I put them there. I put them there. That church is the church of God. It's a church of God. And you just realize, like, I am here. Why am I here? I am here because of God. It's a church of God. And then, which is at Corinth? You know, it's not a church of God, which is made up of the Greeks in Corinth, or the Jews in Corinth, or the Africans in Corinth, or whatever, you know, race in Corinth. It's just like, no, it's like if you are in Corinth and you are a believer, you are part of the church in Corinth. And so you could think about, like, a lot of different people in Corinth. They could be like, hey, I'm not the same color as that person. Why would I be with that person? Because I'm not the same color. And let me go to a place where I am the same color as everyone else, white or whatever, white, black, yellow, whatever. Sorry, is that offensive? You're not offended. Okay, yeah, half. Half whatever. And then let's be together according to that, according to race, according to teaching, according to practice, according to the guy who got me saved, Paul, Apollos. And then it's like, no, nothing like that. You just put them all together. And you're like, how does that work when so many people are so different? You're from Hungary. Come on, Hungary. Are you Chinese? Sure. Come on, Chinese.
There are a lot of Chinese.
Oh, very good, very good. Okay. You're from India. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Oh, you have stage fright. Oh, another. Are you Chinese? Korean. Come on. Korea. Then, okay, good. You're Italian? Come on. Church. Why? Because Cleveland Heights, we're just here. We're just here. It's not based on race. It's not based on special teacher. It's not based on special teaching. It's not based on, like, your affinity. It's not even based on, like, do you Italians like Hungary people?
I don't think there's ever been a historical conflict.
Okay.
Like a chill guy.
Amen. What about Indians?
I don't know. Any
do Indians like Koreans? Oh, wow, we're all just, praise the Lord, the world is such a nice place. Oh, we got African, right? From Rwanda. Oh, Rwanda. Come on up, Rwanda. I think I just threw away my message. I'm sorry. Rwanda, Hungary, Italian American, just a regular white old guy. Indian, Korean. Church, which is at Corinth. It's not a certain flavor. It's not like this is pistachio ice cream. It's like, it's... that's good. It's all flavors. All flavors. All flavors together. Do you love Jesus? 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 And then, did God bring you here? Did God bring you here?
Yes.
Did God bring you here? Did God bring you here? Did God bring you here? Welcome to the Church of God, which is in Corinth. Do you see that? Thank you. You can all sit down. Do you see the beauty of it? It's just like, it's the uniting factor is Jesus. The uniting factor is that God worked. And then you're just, what makes the church in Corinth different from a believer who is in Thessalonica or Jerusalem? You know what makes them different is this. They live in a different city. That's it. And then you just see that, like, there's this view of God that the view that God has. It's like, I just want the church to be a collection of people who are living in that city, living in Corinth. It's a church of God, which is in Corinth. And then you might say, well, like, I live with people that I don't like too much. Why would I want to be in the same church as them? And then God would say, this is my plan, so that I will make you like them. And I will make them like you. And you're like, how is that going to happen? Through my great salvation. And then Jesus would be so marvelous. Jesus would be so rich. Jesus would be so satisfying of all of that a human being needs and deserves. Jesus will be all of that. And you come together with the one point of this. We all want to follow Jesus together. And we love each other. The church of God, which is in Corinth. To those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. I'll just say those two things. You know, it's really good if you could point to another person in the church and say, you have been sanctified. You have been sanctified. Do you know what sanctified is? Is this. I've been set apart by God. I've been set apart by God. Okay, I'll give you an illustration of sanctification. Like, there's like a river of water, river flowing. And then just think of a river flowing, and that water is not really sanctified. It's in a river. But then I take a cup of water, and I just take a cup out of the river. And I boil that cup or take all the bad stuff out of the Giardia, out of the cup. And then I say, this water is going to be used for tea. My tea. You know what? That water is sanctified. And so just think about, like, all the people of the earth. And they're just flowing like a river to where? I don't know. And then God just takes a little cup. That's you. And he says, you know what? You are going to be for me. I set you apart from all the other people so that you would serve me. That is what the church is. It's to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And they're saints by calling. It's like, you know, the normal thing for a church is to be full of people who are set apart for God. And also, they are called by God, and they know it. And then it's kind of interesting, like, if you're a person called by God, and you're wondering, like, how do I know if I'm called? Well, God would send out his summons, like, hey, Devin. And he waves, hey, Devin. It's like, I just, I just see, I just called him. He was sitting over there, and then I called him. And then you just have, are you called by God? Amen. Amen. That's very good. I just called. And you know what? There's a difference. There's a real difference. Thank you, Devin. There's a difference. Like, wow, I've been called. And you know, you've been called by God. You just have an attraction to God. You have an attraction. You have something that's attracting you. Like, I just don't want to live common life. I don't want to live a common life. And somebody could offer you, oh, this is your career, it's a good job, this is your money, this is advancement. And then you're like, I just don't feel satisfied with any of that stuff. I don't feel satisfied with any of that stuff. Why? Because there's something, someone who called me, and I want to live a higher life. I want to live a different life. I want to live a life where my life is significant in God's eyes. Then you come to the church, and you're like, you too? JD, come here. This is, okay, I'll give you, pretend you're not called. And then, I'm called by God. God, I just want to live my life for you. I want to be something different. I just want to do this. And then I come to I'll say a dead church, even though that's a bad, I don't want to say bad things about people, but this would be a dead experience. JD, I just want to live my life for God. I want to I'm called by God. I just want to be different.
I just want to have a nice job.
I kind of feel alone. Okay, now, let's have a church according to the Bible. Saints by calling. Okay. I call by God. I just want to be different. I want to be different. I want to live my life for God. I want to live my life in the glory of God. JD, I just want to live my life for God's glory.
Me too.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I have a friend. And then it's like, why do I have a friend? It's not just because JD and I are alike. You know, I was a physicist. He's an engineer. One time, there was this girl on my floor, and then she graduated with her PhD, and then she became an engineer. And one of the professors was like, I heard you're going into engineering. It was almost like you're just falling off the face of the earth. Physicist, engineer, he's different than me, but you know what? We both have a calling. And then I feel so close to him. I really feel close. Do you feel close to me? Why? I'm called. He's called. And then you just realize this is the church. This is the church. Thank you. Okay. We are going slow. I kind of threw away my whole message. I'm sorry. With all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, theirs and ours. I like it. You know what this means is this. This is what the church is. It's not like our group. It's not like we're Cleveland Heights Church. We're Cleveland Heights Church. And if you're not, well, that's bad. I don't know. No, it's like we're with you. We're just with you. So you meet another Christian. And a church is not supposed to be like, that makes us not with you. Or, whoa, you're different. You have a different label, whatever. But actually, I don't recognize any label. It's not like God has a label. You're a labeled Christian. You're a Christian with this label. You're a Christian with that label. I don't recognize any label. God doesn't recognize any label. But the church in Corinth is like, hey, you're with those in every place who call on the name of our Lord Jesus. You're just with all the believers in every place. It's like no labels. I don't have any labels. I'm not a labeled Christian. I am just a Christian who is in the church in Corinth. And then it's of God. God put me here. He put me with all those who in, all those who are sanctified, all those called. And you know what? We are here and we're with all believers everywhere. You should try this. Just find a random believer. Just find a random believer. Find a random believer. And then you just feel like, oh, you're my brother. You are my brother. One time we were in Rome. And it's Rome. And I was with Andrew. And then we were taking the bus out to Hadrian's Villa, like outskirts of Rome. And then I was like, it was like a Sunday morning, and I saw this sister on the bus with a Bible. And then in Italy, there's not that many like Protestant gatherings or whatever. And I don't even know if the Catholic places are that full on Sunday mornings. But then I saw this sister with a Bible. And we were in Rome. And then I talked to her. And then it was her Italian and then my English. I have no Italian, whatever. But you know what? I just felt so close to her. It's like, wow, yeah, a sister. And I was like, praise the Lord. Wow. Ben, there's somebody in Rome who loves the Lord. Probably a lot of people. I don't know. I just know that one sister, and I hope that the gospel spreads, and I hope that like there's something more. You know, this is the church life. I am with all those who in every place who call on the name of the Lord. Okay, I'm gonna go very fast through two things. Five more. This is great view of the church. But just let me tell you, there were problems. There's so many problems. You have like a great view of the church. Like, wow, it's like a gathering of God with the saints who call, sanctified, saints who are sanctified. We're just with the others and God brought me here. And then you look at the church and you look at the church in Corinth and then you just realize like you guys have a lot of issues, a lot of problems. So Paul says, I exhort you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree there be no divisions among you, but that you may be complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. So Paul is just encouraging them. Hey, brothers and sisters, there should be no divisions among you. There, you need to be one. And then that's like a big charge in the Bible. In the church, the brothers and sisters should be one. There be no divisions. And then, for I've been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. There are quarrels. And it's kind of interesting. There's some Chloe's people, I don't know, like almost spies or something or reporters, but Chloe's people, they were in Corinth. They go back to Paul, and they're like, Paul, let me see. Church in Corinth, those people started off well, but now they are fighting like cats, whatever. They're fighting. And this is what they say. Now, I mean this. Each of you is saying, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So you just see like, wow, there was this view of a wonderful church life of God, sanctified, called together. And then we're with all those. But then you look at the church, and then if we would reproduce what's happening in Corinth, it's like this section. You would all say like, Paul is the greatest. He is the greatest preacher. And then this section, Apollos, you know, some people read Apollos and they think, is that some Roman god or Greek god because of the name Apollos? Actually, he was another preacher who preached the gospel, and he was very eloquent. And he was so eloquent that some people said, I just love his speaking. I love the way he delivers the word. And then there's this whole group in the church, like, Apollos is the greatest preacher. And then I of Cephas, and then Cephas is another name for Peter, the Apostle Peter. And then I of Christ. So this was the problem in Corinth. Let's say this section here. You guys are really for Paul. And then you guys are really for Apollos. And then you guys are really for Peter. And then you guys think all of those people are just off their rockers and totally wrong. And then you guys say, like, we're so much better than you. We are only for Christ. And you're not. And then Paul's like, what kind of church is this? Well, welcome to Problem Church. Welcome to Problem Church. And it's supposed to be so good. But then there were so many issues, divisions. And then I'll just do this. Paul's like, I gave a solution for this. I gave a solution for this at the very beginning of my preaching. So I didn't come in cleverness of speech. Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. It's like, you know what? You know, the solution for the problem in the church is this. There's a cross of Christ. And he goes later on, the word of the cross. It's like foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And he's like, you know, there's all these divisions among you and all those problems. And then do you know what you need? You need these two kinds of formulas about the cross of Christ, and second of all, the word of the cross. And what that means is this. You come to the church. And when you came to the church, it was great. But there was something inside you that wanted to be of the right guy, Paul, a quote unquote right guy, Paul, or Peter, or Apollos, or Christ in a kind of divisive way. Like, you wanted to be special. You wanted to be, make yourself special because we chose Paul. Is Paul wrong? No, he's an apostle. Is Peter wrong? No, he's an apostle. But the thing is, we are not a part of some preacher who makes us special. That need to be special needs to be crucified. It just needs to be crucified. And that's what the word of the cross does. How do you have a church that is like part of the dream church that he described in verses 1 and 2. How do you have a church like that? Number one, you are called by God. Number two, you're sanctified by Christ. And number three, you realize you need the cross of Christ. There are negative things within us that just need to die. And it's very easy to think about those negative things. You know, when you become a Christian, you just realize, like, and especially when we talk about sinful things, old things, when you become a Christian, just realize there are some things in me. They just need to die. They just need to die. My propensity sin, my lustful things. How about this one? My pride. Those things. They just, and I don't know what is more valuable for God's growth in a person's life. Whether positive things added or negative things taken away. What's that? Yeah. What's more important? Before you build a building on a bunch of rubble of the old building, that rubble has to be taken away. And then you can build a building. And then if you're a positive thinking Christian, it's like, don't say anything bad. Don't say anything negative. Just do positive things. Then the trouble is you might be building upon rubble. And then that's not solid. You know what the cross of Christ does? It takes away that rubble. And you just realize, like, oh, there's some things in me. temper. You know, there are some people, they have a good season of life, and they don't know how to control their temper. And then they tear down what they built up in that good season in just a little bit. And you just realize, like, oh, there's something has to be taken away. What is that? That is the work of the cross of Christ. And then the positive thing is this. I am called by the Lord. I'm called by the Lord to serve him. But we just need both. And so, yeah, Peter, you said both are necessary. I say, what's more important? Take away the negative or build up the positive? Well, if you don't build up the positive, if you don't take away the negative, you're building that positive on something that is not working so well. And what does the cross of Christ do? It takes away those negative things. And so Paul's like, hey, you are doing great in the church. You're doing great in the church, except for there's all these divisions. So you know what you need? Remember, when I came to you, I spoke about the cross of Christ, and I gave you the word of the cross. And then the word of the cross, it's this foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And you can just imagine a whole church in unity. And you wonder, how did you get to be in unity? Does that mean you have very strong leaders? No, it's not about strong leaders. A strong leader might just be able to chase away everyone that doesn't agree. But the real power, the real impact comes from this, the working of the cross of Christ. And you realize there were negative things in me. And you know what? The cross delivered a death blow to those negative things. So now, all I do is two things. I love the Lord Jesus, and I want to serve him. And then second of all, I love all of you saints. This is the power of the cross of Christ in the church. So I'll stop there. We can just be thankful the Lord, the church is of God. And the Lord made the church, and he brought us to the church. That is of God. And then the second thing is we can find people who are called by the Lord and have real fellowship with them in the church. And then the third thing is we need the cross to grow the church. Cross of Christ would work in us so that the church can grow more and more and be a brighter and brighter testimony of the Lord's life. So we'll share more about this because there's a lot more to say about this. Cross of Christ, the word of the cross, and Christ crucified. And maybe we could do that more next week.